If you have your Bibles with you, Luke chapter 19 is what we'll be looking at. And just while the a couple of cards are being sent around, this is our last week on this particular subject, Meals with Jesus. For 4 weeks, we've been looking at accounts where Jesus had meals with people, where he was in their home. And we've been learning from that to set us up for having meals with other people, introducing them to the claims and teachings of Jesus over, what is it that we do? We do that over? Yeah, meals, this little something that starts with an A. My goodness. I actually almost want to send you all home. It's called Alpha. That is very embarrassing. Yeah. You're testing me. Okay, well, I win. Okay, because I came up with the answer. Absolutely. We believe in this tool. We think it's the most effective way that we as a church, right now in the season we find ourselves in, the most effective way to introduce Jesus to others. And it's around a meal. It is in a midweek meeting space at the Waypoint, which is set up to engage with the community in a winsome, non-threatening, welcoming, hospitable environment. And so that kicks off this Tuesday. And every week we're looking at scriptures to inspire us and to teach us and to coach us to see even that Jesus' strategy was having meals with people. And so today is no different. Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bibles with you, follow along. Otherwise, it's always up on the screen. So let's read together. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So the Greek word for small there is actually the word Toby. And so... or Lawrence, depending on your translation. Sorry, that was just terrible of me. Let me just pray. Lord, please forgive me for... All right, so everybody knows Zacchaeus, right? Tiny guy, shorty. Verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Lord Jesus, we ask you to teach us again today. Holy Spirit, you are the one who inspired these words. As Luke recounted the things you didn't say, Jesus. And so will you open our eyes? Will you soften our hearts? Will you change us today so that we would not be the same? And what we've read and learned today would honestly impact our week and our lives forever. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So, meals with Jesus. I know this is a little strange because there's no meal reference here, but I would imagine, you know, spending a day at Zacchaeus' house is going to include at least one meal, but I think a few of those. And so, of course, Luke condenses the account for us, but you can fill in the blanks, okay? And so there was a meal, certainly at least one, but I'm sure a few meals. And it starts off in verse 1 over here, actually, or verse 2. It says, behold, And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Such a strange thing. And actually, if you read through Scripture, you'll see there's often moments where this word behold, I looked at the ESV sort of preface, and the reason why they added it in there is they felt that there's nothing really in the English language that kind of captures these moments that the biblical authors put there for us. And so behold, although it's a word you do not use, it should grab your attention. Because when you walk into a room and say, behold, everybody will literally turn around and go, what is about to happen? All right? This is what Luke wants us to figure out. Something amazing is about to happen. Pay attention. Really, the word behold is just Bible code for listen up. Pay careful attention to what follows and maybe go back a few verses and check that out as well. And so earlier in this this gospel, Luke chapter 18 and maybe a bit before, you see a rich man, much like Zacchaeus, comes to Jesus, gets an invitation to follow him, and he can't. He just cannot part with his money. And the statement is made, man, then it's impossible for any rich person to become a Christ follower, to be saved. And Jesus said, well, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so when Luke starts off saying, behold, a tax collector, a chief one, a very rich guy, he wants you to join the dots. He wants you to think about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he's saying, well, what seemed to be impossible a little earlier when the rich young ruler walked away is going to be possible today. God is going to do something and change his life. And then just a few verses before, there is this poor, poverty, blind guy, who in a crowd, much like you see here, there is a crowd, all right? Zacchaeus cannot see because he's short, but this poor guy cannot see because he's blind. All right, so there's a similarity. And Jesus also, the crowd doesn't actually get in the way of this guy. He just cries out loud. Jesus stops and he heals this poor blind man. And Luke wants us to make the connection that actually Jesus here, where he's going to heal this rich short man, which is also actually just a rich blind man because he can't see. Something's going on over here. And so when he says, behold, he wants you to stop and do a little stock take. A few verses before, let's see what's happening here. Make the connections. Okay. And I want to today look at just three big things that we see in this passage. And you know, I believe that when people come to know Jesus, there's a process, all right? We believe, thank you so much, we believe that Alpha, you know, underlines and kind of brings out and facilitates a little bit of that process. So when people come to know Jesus, you see that they ask questions, right? They have to overcome some obstacles. You know, they've got to get a few things out of the way. They maybe have to be courageous a little bit, or they have to go somewhere, have to speak to someone. So there's often a process for people when they go through to find Jesus. And I believe that for those of us who help others to find Jesus, the process is very similar sometimes. So when you come to know Jesus, a few things happened, and you shouldn't be surprised that when you try and help someone else find and follow Jesus, that actually the same obstacles, same hurdles, the same process is involved as well. So I want to highlight it under three main headings today that we see in this passage. I want to draw the parallel between Zacchaeus coming to find Jesus and perhaps you helping someone else finding Jesus. I want to pull it out of this passage, okay? So first one is you have to go through a crowd, right? Through a crowd, and then you have to go up a tree so you could see, and then you have to go into a home, or Jesus has to come into a home, okay? So here we have it, through, up, and in. All right, are you ready? Let's do this thing together. Verse 2, it says, a man named Zacchaeus. We're looking at through a crowd. Zacchaeus had to get through this crowd. Who on earth was Zacchaeus? Well, it tells us he was a chief tax collector, right? So we all heard a little while ago when Levi or Matthew, when Jesus called him, he was a tax collector sitting at a tax booth. And we heard that this is a bad guy, okay? He turned his back on his countrymen, and people didn't like him. Not just any people, his own people didn't like him. He worked for the enemy. Now, it tells us here that Zacchaeus was the boss of Levi, okay? He was a chief tax collector. So if Levi was bad, and you know, the Bible paints it so vividly because it says there's sinners and tax collectors, okay? So we already know that sinners, you know, Jesus hung out and ate with them and drank with them. He loved them. He was with them. But then the Bible tells us that the early people, of Jesus' time, separated sinners and tax collectors. It was like they own category of bad, all right? Sinners and tax collectors. So here comes Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector, all right? So this is like the baddest of the bad. He was a corrupt kind of capitalist guy. He exploited people. Just think about how it worked. The tax collectors brought the money to him, and then he took the money to the authorities, the Roman emperor. And so the tax collectors, like Levi, already ripped people off, all right? They took more than they should have. And so they keep some for themselves. But the money they give to a chief tax collector, I mean, he had to take his cut as well, right? So, I mean, there's even more layers of corruption already. This is the guy. Nobody liked the chief guy because the guys at the bottom needed to take more so that the guy in the middle, him, can take some so that ultimately money could get to the top guy. Okay, so he wasn't a very loved guy, corrupt capitalist. And actually, friends, these weren't really taxes they had to pay. This was like you pay, you live, you don't pay, you die, okay? It wasn't like you could maybe skip your tax here once so you can resubmit it. No one's going to come after you to the extent that these authorities would have come after you if you refused to pay, okay? So this was like protection money. If you didn't pay your taxes, your whole family, your life was actually in danger. And this is, gives us a sense that this guy wasn't just rich, all right, he was powerful as well. Powerful in that sense, but corrupted influence is what he had. So that's the kind of guy that comes onto the scene. And verse 3 tells us he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Right, so there was an interest in him. He wanted to know who Jesus was. Maybe he's like, I'm a bit of an influencer, you know, I got lots of money. Sounds like Jesus gathers a crowd. I think we should meet, you know. Maybe he had a little bit of that going on, I don't know, but he must have been intrigued because he heard the claims. If you read through the book of Luke, you'll see, over and over again, he eats with sinners and with tax collectors. And I'm pretty sure word came to him that even Levi, even Matthew is now a disciple of Jesus. So he was inquisitive. He was interested. And he must have had a reason why he wanted to see Jesus for himself. But it says, on the count of the crowd, he could not. All right, this crowd was a bit of a problem. I don't know, maybe the crowd enjoyed keeping him down. Maybe they were like, ha, yes, short Zacchaeus. He's in a throng of people, all right? We don't like him. Finally, like, now the level, you know, the playing field is level in the sense he's shorter, so let's kick him out. Let's elbow him a little. Let's keep him out. Maybe that's why the crowd was in the way. He could not get to see Jesus. Because you think about it, it's nothing for a short person to actually ask a taller person, hey, is it okay if I stand in front? Because the tall person's like, yeah, sure, it doesn't block my view. And so for people to actually keep Zacchaeus out, I think there was a bit of, you know, like animosity. People were like, oh, Zacchaeus, you know, no, get out, you know. I think that's what kind of happened over there. He could not see Jesus. And I want you to notice that the crowd perhaps did not like Zacchaeus because he was rich and exploited people, all right? So maybe that's why, on account of the crowd, he couldn't get in. But if you look at a few verses earlier, where it says the blind man, all right, couldn't get to Jesus, it was also because of the crowd. Let me see if I can read that to you. It's not on the screen. Verse 36, and hearing a crowd passing by, the blind man inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It says, and those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he said, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus stopped and helped the guy out. All right, so the crowd didn't like Zacchaeus because he was rich. It says they grumbled at Jesus' decision to go and be with him. The crowd was like, oh, come on, man. You're going to a sinner's house. But, you know, they also didn't like the blind guy. You know, the poor blind guy who was screaming out. They were like, shush, keep quiet. They didn't like that guy as well. I want to tell you that the crowd is clearly not a good reference and a true test of where you should go and who you should follow. You have to get through a crowd in your life. There's a crowd in your life that maybe is keeping you from Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You're exploring Christianity. And there's a crowd that you've got to get through. Crowds are fickle. Crowds are fickle. You can see here this crowd. Man, they didn't like the poor guy. They didn't like the rich guy. It's like, just choose. Which one is correct? They had no clue where they were going. And so a crowd is clearly not a good reference and a good test for who you should follow. You should get through the crowd. For Zacchaeus, the crowd was a barrier to Jesus. But I want to say, you, even if the crowd was a kind of case for Jesus. Oh, look how many people are following Jesus. He must be amazing. Let me go along with him. I want to tell you, they're not worth crowd surfing. And some of you are here today and you're a crowd surfer, right? You love just to go where the crowd goes. The crowd goes this way. Woo! You're on the crowd. They go that way. And I want to tell you, you've got to get through a crowd if you want to meet Jesus. Whether the crowd thinks that Jesus is right or wrong, it's about you finding Jesus. It's about your convictions. Nobody meets Jesus in a crowd. It's too impersonal. I find that amazing about church as well. When we come together, we talked about, you know, worshiping together. It's an amazing thing. And yet each and every one of us have had a voice, have a personal relationship with Jesus. Unless you have that personal connection, you're just kind of, you know, chaff in the wind, you know, go where we go. There's no reality. You find Jesus personally. Nobody meets him in a crowd. Nobody's going to stand in front of God one day and say, I follow you because my whole family followed you. It's like, no, what did you do with me? What did you do with my words? And so we've got to get through the crowd. The crowd is not going to save you. The crowd is not going to be the answer to you and for you. And we see Zacchaeus literally goes above and beyond the crowd. Right? He goes ahead. He runs ahead beyond the crowd. And then he climbs up a tree. He rises above the crowd. I want to say to us believers, maybe you are like Zacchaeus. You've got some limitations. You think, oh, my size, my biblical knowledge. Maybe you have some obstacles. Maybe there's a crowd. You're worrying about what people will think and say to you and of you when you share the gospel, when you invite someone to Alpha. Be like Zacchaeus and that you go above and beyond the crowd. Overcome the limitations and overcome the obstacles. It's worth it. When you came to meet Jesus, perhaps someone did that for you, and maybe you had to do what Zacchaeus had to do as well. And so do it for others. Don't say, well, nobody is doing it, and so I'm not going to do it. Nobody's inviting someone to Alpha, so I don't have to do it. And also don't even say, because everybody is doing it, you should do it as well. You should have a personal conviction. Get through the crowd. Don't go with the crowd. And then number two, up a tree. Okay, he climbs up a tree to see. And I was thinking about this in Jesus, when he talked about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, that when you sow it, the smallest of the you know, the seeds, and it becomes one of the largest garden plants, that actually the birds of the air come and take, you know, perch in it and make a nest. He says the kingdom of God is like that, Matthew 13:32. And I believe that we, as those who have Jesus as our Lord, he's our King, we can be like those mustard trees that others could actually take shelter in. I think this is where it gets so personal, right? It's different to being a crowd. A crowd is impersonal, but if you could be that tree that someone could climb up, in a sense, and find shelter in, nesting in, to grow closer to Jesus, be that. Be a tree. Don't be a throng, all right? Don't be the crowd. It's like, make it personal, okay? And I'm curious over how this guy, you know, Zacchaeus, why he climbed a tree. You know, maybe he climbed this tree because he wanted to be hidden. He's like, man, I don't want anybody to see me. I'm going to run ahead. I'm going to climb this tree. I'm going to kind of keep my dignity. Maybe this tree could have allowed for it. We don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he thought, I know this is embarrassing, but I want to see who Jesus is. The crowd has already rejected me. I don't care. I'm going to climb this tree and I'm going to be found. I don't really know the story, but I do know this. Scripture tells us he was curious. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see Jesus himself because he was the celebrity. And actually, his curiosity, it seemed like, it led to his conversion. And I think about the people that I've invited to Alpha. Often it's because I'm curious as to what they believe. You know, we talk about faith and they tell me, yeah, I do this, or I, you know, I'm not really into that. I literally had that conversation with a person a week and a half ago. And I said, I'm so interested in what you believe. Won't you come to Alpha and spill your guts? Spill the beans. Tell us what you believe, you know? Sometimes it's curiosity. They're like, wow, you're a Christian? You go to church? That's amazing. So tell me more about Jesus. There's curiosity on their part. But friends, you can invite someone into a faith conversation because you're curious, not because they're curious. Think about that. It's like there's actually no excuse. Whether they want to know or whether you want to know, there's a reason to explore, to double click. And I see that in Zacchaeus. And so curiosity is climbing a tree. That's what it is. It's like, let me get myself a little higher. Let me investigate a little. And maybe it is you, or maybe it's them. But I think curiosity was very instrumental here that led to his conversion. Did he have it all? Maybe you think, nah, I don't want to ask someone, you know, come to Alpha. I don't want to ask someone to, you know, what they think about Jesus or what they think about faith in general, because they just seem fine. I mean, they've got everything. Like, what do I have to offer? I don't know if Jesus has anything to offer this person. Listen, look at Zacchaeus' life. He was a chief tax collector. He was very rich. You might think this guy's got everything. He doesn't need Jesus. But clearly, there was a void in his life. Enough for him to run ahead, climb a tree. He had to see it. It wasn't enough in his life. And so don't believe the lie, actually, that, they don't need Jesus. They've got everything. I think that Zacchaeus may have lived a life ridden with guilt, as he knows he's exploiting people, his own people, and shame that comes with it. Maybe regret. He might think of that one time where he had a fork in the road, and he's like, I could go with the Romans, or I could stick with my people, but I need the money. I know what's right and wrong. And he made the wrong decision. Maybe he found himself like that. And his whole life he's been living with regret. And so on the outside, Zacchaeus looks like he's got everything lined up. Rich, influential, chief. But this guy is hungry for Jesus. And you might look at people in your neighborhood and your work office, someone you study with, you know, hang out with over hobbies, and you think, I don't know if God's got anything. They've got everything. I don't know if we could offer him anything. You do not know what's going on the inside. On the outside, Zacchaeus looked all fine. But on the inside, he wanted Jesus. And you know, the gospel is always shown to us that the poor embrace it the quickest, the easiest. And so you think to yourself, what is going on here? Even Jesus, when he stands in front of, and he starts his ministry, stands in front of people in a synagogue, and he reads Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, you know, to set the captives free. It's like we know that it's sometimes so easy for those that are down, broken, low, with nothing. They just, yes, I'll take Jesus. But what's happening with Zacchaeus? He's not in that place. He actually is. That's the parallel between the story before where this poor blind man begging on the side of the street meets Jesus and then the story of Zacchaeus finding Jesus. Zacchaeus may be physically rich, but he's spiritually poor. And that's why the gospel is good news to him. That's the poverty of spirit that he was experiencing. And Jesus came and fulfilled that. He wasn't actually rich. He was actually poor. In the same boat as the poor blind guy before, who also had to fight the crowd to meet with Jesus. And because he climbed this tree, right, verse 5 tells us that Jesus came to the place and he looked up. I love that. Jesus stopped. We start reading here that he was passing through Jericho, all right? He had a plan. He was just moving. I'm heading for Jerusalem. But he stops at this tree. I don't know if he saw Zacchaeus or not, but he stops and he looks up. Maybe for the first time ever, Zacchaeus has got somebody looking up at him, hey? Imagine that moment. He's always the shorty. Everybody always looks down at him. And in that moment, Jesus stops. Wow. He stops this whole procession. He's on his way somewhere. He stops and he looks up. Maybe Jesus didn't see him, but the Holy Spirit in that moment said to him, there's a man in the tree. Oh, by the way, his name's Zacchaeus. I don't think Jesus knew him. But in this moment, something profound happens because Jesus stops. He doesn't carry on. He looks up at Zacchaeus, he affirms him, he gives his position away. So if Zacchaeus was hiding, it's like, oops, spotlight on him. Listen, I wanted to just be at the top here, no one's seeing me. And Jesus is literally calling me out by name. Okay, now if the Holy Spirit had showed him where he was, the Holy Spirit showed Jesus, because he was dependent on the Holy Spirit like you and I should be, he showed him what his name was, I'm pretty sure he could have carried on. It says, Zacchaeus, you sneaky, stinking, stealing, rotten Israelite, you know? Does he do that? Not at all. Jesus just extends grace. He doesn't call him out. I know who you are. I know what you have done. No, he extends grace to him. And he says, verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but we see here that Jesus saw him. A different story plays out. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus wanted to be with Zacchaeus. takes it to the next level. And friends, we can provide a context for people to see Jesus, okay? But then we discover that Jesus sees those people. You know, as we are these trees in people's lives that they can climb up and kind of make a nest in to explore the claims and teachings of Jesus. We think we are showing them Jesus, but then Jesus shows up and it's like, oh, Jesus saw them. You think you're doing something, but Jesus was already at work long before you. And he surprises the people that we share him with and that we provide a context for them to see Jesus. They discover that Jesus is seeing them. That is incredible. And so here Jesus invites him into a home. All right, so he was up a tree, and then he's in to a home. Jesus comes into his house. Verse 5, he says, I must stay at your house today. It's amazing that Jesus did more than just exchange looks. You know, he climbed up the tree. He's like, I want to see Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus saw me back? All right, he could have just exchanged looks. Zach, see ya. Like, hey, JC, ZZ, I don't know. Maybe it was just an exchange. He did more than just leave him down from the tree, just like, hey, come down, handshake, nice, great to meet you, you know, stop doing all those things, you know, follow me, I gotta go, Jerusalem, okay? So he didn't just like make eye contact, he didn't just ask him to come down and have a quick little exchange. What does Jesus do? He's like, hurry, I wanna come stay at your house today. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus invites himself to his house. And it's not just like, listen, just get a few things ready. Tomorrow I'm coming, right? I've got to cut. It's like, now, right now, I'm coming today. Do you think he had time to prepare, get his ducks in a row? It's like, no, I'm coming to your house today. Jesus kind of barges in to his life. He invades their space. And think about us. When we help by placing people in Jesus' path, you know, we are the tool. We are the tree, the kingdom tree in their lives. Actually, let Jesus do the rest. Trust that actually once there's proximity, once they hear his words, once they see his love, watch what Jesus does. He gets right in there in their lives. It's not like, oh, you know, he's going to a little glance, you know, maybe a little encounter, a little conversation here and there, and then nothing's going to happen. Watch Jesus at work. He's like, today I'm going to invade your space. Today I'm going to get into your house. To stay at a house is more than just a meal. It's inviting someone into your life. Friends, that's what Alpha is about. That's why we don't do 1 week Alpha, 2 week Alpha. We do 11 weeks of Alpha with the weekend away as well. Because we want Jesus to invade people's lives. It's through relationship. It's through getting to know them. This is how Jesus rolled. He's like, I'm coming to stay at your house. And isn't it amazing that actually Jesus says, I'm coming to stay at your house in verse 5. And then in verse 9, he says to everyone, salvation has come to this house. Can you join the dots? This Zacchaeus didn't just go, wow, right, Jesus got some good stuff to say, all right? Give to the poor. I got lots of cash. I know it was bad. I'm going to give half of it to the poor, all right? That's what it, or some other good advice. No, I defrauded people. I'll give them back 4 times. It's not just like information, you know, some sort of life skills, life hacks that he received. There's not just reformation. We did see a change. But actually, Jesus is the salvation. It's a person. He meets Jesus. Jesus says, salvation's come to this house. Because in verse 5, he said to him, I'm coming to your house. And so maybe you also think, oh, you know, if I invite someone along with Alpha, or we read the Bible together, or we talk about God, I don't want them to sort of pick up little, you know, like life tips, some good advice that Jesus gives. Trust that they meet Jesus, the one who speaks the words, the one who's the very word of God, that they meet him. Because that's what produces the reformation. It wasn't the other way where Zacchaeus said, no, I'm going to do all these things. And then Jesus said, ah, now you are saved. No, it was when Jesus came into his house. Salvation came into his house. Jesus. First, it wasn't like clean up your house and then I'll come and stay with you. Isn't it amazing? It's like Zacchaeus, I'm right now. But Lord, do you know what I've done? I'm coming right now. So it's on the basis of grace, not on a basis of works, not on the basis of what you've done, cleaning up your life. I'm coming to your house right now. And what happens? His life changes as a result. That's how the gospel works. And so when we share the gospel with people, make sure that we share Jesus, friends. We don't share rights and wrongs. Don't do this. Don't say that. That's poofy. That's ugly. That's stinky. Just be good and be nice. Listen, when Jesus comes to stay in your house, trust me, he'll rearrange the furniture. Trust me, things will change. Money will flow. People, they'll be generous. They will stop hurting people. Injustices will come to an end. But they have to meet Jesus first. Then it's sustainable. Then it's radical. Friends, this is a radical change. Even according to the law, he didn't have to give half away. Kind of the starting point was roughly 10, 20%. When he defrauded someone, maybe 20% interest is what you give back. He said four times that. This is a radical change. Not because he saw some great advice and said, I'm going to try this, because he met Jesus. Jesus comes into a house. He comes into a life and he rearranges the furniture. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. In other words, people are lost and he came looking for them. The rich ruler of a few chapters before, who was actually a good Jewish boy, when he said, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. He's like, yeah, I do them all. And guess what? He walked away not following Jesus. Right, so you think that's the guy. That guy, he's so close. No, he was the furthest away. Him, Nicodemus, the rich young ruler, and Zacchaeus, who broke every rule, both of them were lost. Both of them were lost. And so don't you walk around your life looking at people. Oh, there's a good guy, a good girl. I don't think they need Jesus. Oh, but the bad ones. Here, let's go after them. Friends, everyone without Jesus is lost. It's not optional for some. It is required for all. The poor blind guy, the few verses before, and the rich short guy, they both needed Jesus. And so do not walk around and gauge people. They don't need him. They don't need him. They need him more. No, everybody who does not follow Jesus in the sense of believing the gospel that he died in their place, he lived their life, he is God, they are not. They need Jesus. Don't you decide who should and who shouldn't, friends. Jesus said, I came to find the lost. And if you're a believer here, don't just think Jesus is for some but not all. He is for everyone. I'm so glad that Zacchaeus came down that tree. And I want to encourage you today, you know, you could be a tree for someone to climb to see Jesus, right? But you're just a tree, okay? They've got to get down eventually and get Jesus into their lives, right? You can play that role. But I'm so glad that Jesus climbed a tree for you and me. Zacchaeus may have climbed down, but Jesus came onto that tree, the cross, to die in our place, to take Zacchaeus' sin upon himself, to take your sin, to take my sin upon himself, so that we could be trees for others to climb in many ways. So if you see Jesus doing that for you, you know what's so amazing about Jesus is that he took the disdain of the crowd. Remember, as he said, okay, I'm coming to your house today, people started grumbling. Oh, Jesus, he's hanging out with bad people again. Jesus is like, meh. He just went to his house anyway. And he bore the shame and the disdain of the crowd. And he did so much more ultimately for us, friends. So much more for us. He didn't just bear the shame as he hung on that cross. He bore death at their hands. He died because of the crowd that shouted, crucify him, so that you and I can have him in our homes and so that you and I could invite others into a relationship with Jesus. He went, you know, Zacchaeus' life was changed just at that amazing act of kindness of Jesus coming to his house, Jesus bearing the shame of the crowd. But you and I have more of a story to tell, right? This was before Jesus died on the cross. We have so much more that should move our hearts to be like Zacchaeus, to invite others and to change other people's lives because of what he's done in ours. So let's pray. Won't you stand? Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I want to pray for three groups of people here today. Those that are fighting a crowd. Those that are refusing to be sort of a kingdom tree in someone's life. And then those whose home, their life, is perhaps without you. And so I'm going to start off just extending an invitation for each category. If you're here today and you are the sort of crowd surfer, you know, you You feel like the crowd is keeping you from introducing others to Jesus. Look, I will talk to those that are kept away from Jesus because of the crowd in the third category. So if that's you, don't worry, an opportunity for you to respond will come too. But you're a believer, you're a Christian here today, but you feel like the crowd is keeping you from sharing Jesus. You're too influenced by the opinions of others in your life. You wait to see what others would do before you do it too. You lack that conviction. I want to ask that the Holy Spirit would come, because He's the one that gives courage and conviction. And that He would fill you, and that your life would be different. That you would be someone who has, you've got a personal relationship with Jesus and a conviction to live that out in front of others. You're not connected. You're not tethered to a crowd. Because the crowd's fickle, as we heard. They don't know what they want. They don't know where they're going. But you have Jesus. If that's you, won't you be so brave? Just stick up your hand. No one's looking. Thank you. Anyone else? Hey, you don't want to be moved by the crowd. You want to be moved by the King, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you saw every hand this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're present. I'm going to ask that you'd come now and fill these people. Fall upon them right now, Holy Spirit. Fill their lives with conviction. Fill their lives with courage, Lord, to live the gospel on display out in front of the crowd. Lord, I pray that they would not be crowd surfers anymore. They wouldn't watch what others are doing and make decisions based on that, but they themselves would hear your voice, the King, in their lives, not the crowd. They'd follow you. Holy Spirit, come now and do that work in their lives. Fill them up. Equip them for this task at hand of introducing others to Jesus. And then maybe you're here. Thank you so much for those who have responded. Number two is you want to be a kingdom tree. You want to provide a context for people to encounter Jesus. You want to throw people into the path of Jesus. Jesus is moving. And He's moving in your life, and you want to be that kingdom tree that others can climb into the branches of your life and encounter Jesus. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you as well. Anyone here, you say, man, I want to be a kingdom tree. Wonderful, wonderful. Lord, you see every hand once again. Lord, I thank you that what you do in our lives is botanical. We bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you work in our lives. And so I pray, Lord, that these people who have raised their hands, Lord, that from this moment onwards, their lives will be trademarked by being a tree that people could sit under to enjoy shade, can make a nest in, Lord God, to find shelter, Lord, can rest in and can explore and find ultimately Jesus. Explore your claims and your teachings, but find you in the branches of their lives. I ask for that now, Lord. Lord, show them how to go about. Will you give them strategies? Will you make them present in the lives of people so that they could easily find a branch to sit on? Will you help them there? Holy Spirit, thank you once again. You hear, you are the helper. You equip us. You enable us to do this. I ask that in Jesus' name. And then lastly, you cannot say that Jesus has made a home in your life. You actually thought that before you invite Him in, you've got to clean up. You've got to rearrange the furniture, and you just feel you're so far away. Every week you're close, and then you mess up, and you're like, no, next week or next, soon, it's coming soon. But you think you've got to clean up your house before He comes around. And you saw that with Zacchaeus, he comes into a home as it is, and then he starts to rearrange the furniture. You know, Jesus lived the perfect life for you. He lived the life you should have lived. He has the clean house, really. Trust me, He left heaven. That was His home. Perfection. No sin, no sadness, no sickness. He left His clean house to come to earth so that He could invade your space and make it as clean as His. But He's got to come in first.
And so if you're here today and you want Jesus to invade your space, you want him to come into your home, into your life, won't you let me know? Be brave. Just stick up your hand. I'd love to pray with you as well. Anyone like that today? You want to follow Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, you saw that hand. And I ask that right now, you come into their lives by the power of the Spirit. Jesus, you said, I must go to the Father, but I won't leave you as orphans. I will send the Spirit. What you said is that I will not leave you. Although I'm going to heaven, I'm coming back, and my Spirit is going to be my presence in your life. And I ask for the Holy Spirit now to fill their lives and let them surrender the way it is, the way their life is right now, Lord. Let them believe the gospel that they cannot do anything to warrant and to justify you coming inside. You have done it all. Let them let go of their efforts and invade their space right now. Fill them with your love and your grace and your mercy. And we know, just like with Zacchaeus, that the outcome will be a rearranged house, will be a life lived differently. But let it start with you, Jesus. Not clever ideas, not things that you've said. You in person, come into their lives right now in Jesus' name. Fill them and give them the power to live for you from this moment on like never before in Jesus' name. Amen.